Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a wonderful weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 8th of September. Coming up today, we'll hear from a war veteran who lives in Canterbury, who's been telling us what he thinks of the Raise the Colours campaign. We'll also have plenty of reaction from the latest Gillingham fixture as they hold on to stay top of the league. But first, taking a look at our top story today. The mum of a hit and run victim in Westbrook says she was stunned to discover he'd been discharged from hospital with nowhere else to go. Azar Handan spent months being treated at King's College Hospital in London before being transferred to the QEQM in Margate after sustaining serious injuries in April. Lucy has been following this story for the podcast. She's here with me now with some more details. Luce, first of all, can you tell us about the crash?
Well, Azar was involved in a collision on Canterbury Road in Westbrook on April 28th this year. He was left with fractures to his spine, both legs, both arms and ribs, as well as a shattered hip and brain damage. His family say he may never walk again and is facing a long road to recovery. As you say, he spent months being treated at the King's College Hospital in London before being transferred to the QEQM.
And so why has his family now spoken out about his care?
Well, Azar was receiving treatment in Margate when staff considered him clinically well enough to leave. He'd been offered a place on the rehab unit at Kent and Canterbury Hospital, but had asked to be moved somewhere closer to home in Westbrook, as his partner would struggle to afford the transport costs to visit him. But in the end, he was denied a place at Westbrook House's rehab ward. Now, on August 22nd, he spent a day away from the ward with his partner in his wheelchair, and when he arrived back at the QEQM, he discovered he'd been discharged. His mother, Chrissy, who lives in Gloucestershire, told Kent Online someone else was already in his bed, his belongings were in a cart, and the security team was waiting to escort him out.
So where did Azar go?
Well, Chrissy says his discharge papers claim he's refused all pathways and his only option was to return to his own flat. As a wheelchair user, he needed a group of people to help him at the steep steps at the front, and says he feels trapped in his own home. Chrissy says he often sleeps in his wheelchair because he's not strong enough to lift himself into his bed. He has been on the waiting list for appropriate social housing for 3 months, but Thanet District Council has not been able to supply one.
Have the hospital responded to the family's claims?
They have. They gave Kent Online a short statement which read, Mr. Handan was offered an inpatient bed in our specialist ward at Canterbury to continue his rehabilitation, and we are sorry this was not suitable for him and his family.
Thanks, Lucy. Thanet District Council said it was unable to comment on individual cases, but a spokesperson did have this to say.
In the event of medical need, it is the clinical provider or occupational health service that will decide the level of support required by the individual. The council has no role in determining supported accommodation or care levels. It is not possible to give a timescale on when the applicant will be allocated a property, as this depends on a number of factors, including the size of the property they require and the complexity of their medical needs.
Also, a small update on the hit and run itself. A man in his 20s was arrested by police 2 days after the crash. He has since been rebailed to October 28 and no charges have so far been issued. Another of our top stories today, the new Home Secretary is holding talks on how to tackle people smuggling after the number of small boat crossings this year passed 30,000. Representatives from the US, Australia, Canada and New Zealand are meeting Shabana Mahmood in London. It comes as the government's considering using more military bases to house asylum seekers. Sally Huff runs a support centre for those living at Napier Barracks in Folkestone.
Other sites haven't opened because there have been legal challenges. So there will be more legal challenges. From my point of view, it's on humanitarian grounds. These sites are not fit for human habitation.
Elsewhere, war veteran and now Canterbury resident Tim Collins says the Raise the Colours campaign is just a passing phase. The movement has seen St George's flags put up across the county and red crosses painted on public signs and roundabouts. While some say it's patriotic, others say it's provocative. Tim has told the Kent Online podcast it's a public show of dissatisfaction.
I think that the fantasy that the far right are sneaking about telling people to go out and do things, the appearance of flags flags. It's a spontaneous thing. It's the reaction of working people to the circumstances they see around them. They're not far right. They're just the people that live here, and they're worried for their children. They're worried for their future, and they're expressing, because we've been told that the United Kingdom is a bad thing. Mm. Is there a possibility, for instance, that by displaying a Palestinian flag, you're actually supporting a violent terrorist organization? Or is that not count? Is it only a St. George's flag, for instance, that creates an effect? But Northern Ireland is a place where people fly flags, but that tends to be tribal, people marking territory. Mm. So there's no real comparison with that. I think this is a passing phase. It's a public show of dissatisfaction, and it's up to government to address the underlying issues or deal with that. Simply arresting people is not going to be a solution. Oppressing the native population is not going to be a solution. They have to address the core issues.
Kent Online News.
It's been a nightmare commute for many Kent drivers as a lorry fire closed the M20. Crews were called to tackle the blaze on the London-bound stretch near Rootham at around 5:30 this morning. One person was treated for the effects of breathing in smoke. The closure of the motorway caused severe delays. Firefighters have been called to tackle a blaze that caused a lot of smoke in Maidstone Town Centre. Pallets and a vehicle caught alight at a yard off Wyke Manor Road at around 11:30 yesterday morning. Part of the high street was closed with bus services also disrupted. Crews say no one was hurt and the cause is unclear. Meanwhile, a fire has broken out in a garden in Herne Bay after a blaze in a summer house spread to a number of fence panels. Crews were called to put out the flames on Linden Avenue at around 11 yesterday morning. No one was hurt and the cause is believed to be accidental. Now, if you commute to London, you're being warned about major disruption on the tube network this week. Thousands of workers with the RMT union have gone on strike in a dispute over pay and conditions. There'll be little or no service on the underground until Thursday. There are plans to paint double yellow lines in part of Gravesend, which residents say is known for inconsiderate parking and poor visibility. People living in Central Avenue say it's like taking your life into your own hands when driving through the streets. The scheme is yet to be formally signed off by council.
Kent Online News.
A man involved in a smash and grab burglary at a Boots in Ashford has been given an electronically tagged curfew. Ben Everett, along with an accomplice, stole more than £1,000 worth of goods from the branch in the town centre in April 2023. The 28-year-old, who lives in Corns Close in Willsborough, must be home between 12 noon and 4 a.m. every day for a month. A number of lane closures are due to be put in place on Bluebell Hill over the next 12 weeks. It's part of a £250 million major scheme to improve connections between the A229 to and from Maidstone and the M2. Staggered lane closures are set to be in place at certain times, and a temporary speed limit of 40 miles per hour will be implemented. Around 3 tonnes of rubbish has been found illegally dumped in a garage in Larkfield. The owner of the lockup in Raven Close found the fly-tipped waste, including a sofa, builder's rubbish and laminate flooring, when he went to retrieve a mobility scooter. Martin DeYoung has been chatting to reporter Ellie Hodgson.
First, I thought I'd opened the wrong door, but turns out no, it was definitely my garage. And somewhere in the back there may or may not be still my mobility scooter and various other bits and pieces. But as I say, the council have been along and taken out a ton of rubbish so far, and hopefully they'll be back soon to get some more. But it was a bit of a shock when I opened the door, to be quite honest. And So
obviously you rent this through Clarion.
Yes, I've been renting it for about 30 years now. Not had any trouble really until now. It's been quite useful for not storing my car in, because it's, you know, had other domestic stuff in, because we haven't got a garage on the house. But it's just around the corner, so it's quite convenient, although it's not much good now.
How easy has it been for you to get this sorted?
Well, I spoke to Clarion on the day after the bank holiday, and they came out last Monday to start the clearance. But I've been in touch with them again today to try and find out when they'll be able to come back and do the rest. But it could be another couple of weeks yet, I don't know.
Can you tell me what you know about whether this is the first time it's happened in the area?
It's the first time I heard about it, but several neighbours have said to me since then that it's been going on for several months, and that possibly most of these garages have been, although they're not all vacant, if you like. They've been filled up as well. I've noticed quite a few people have put solid locks on the doors. So that's what I'll be doing next time.
What is your perception of this incident? Is it a crime?
Well, it is a crime. I did report it on 101 to the police online. And there's a there isn't a category for people breaking into your garage and filling it up. If they'd taken something, that would have been definitely a crime. But they have given me a crime number, so they have treated it as a crime. But they're not looking into it any further than that. But Clary Ann have been quite helpful so far.
And final question, what are you hoping the outcome will be? How quickly are you hoping to get this sorted?
Well, I'd like to get it finished today, but I don't think so. Within a week or so, I'd like to be able to get in and find out if my mobility scooter is still in there. And if it's in there, if it's any good. But it's one of those things. I'm afraid it's a sign of the times these days. But that's where we are, really. I'm just waiting for Clary Ann to get back to me and rearrange for some transport to empty it.
Kent Online News.
The eviction deadline for a boat club fighting for survival in North Kent has been extended by a month. Broadness Cruising Club has operated on the Swanscombe Peninsula since 1991, but their land access was revoked on July 21st. The landowners say anything left beyond September 30th will be cleared without further notice. Bob Thwaites is a member of the club and has lived at the site for the last 34 years.
Anyone that turned up at the gate to come down here, any of the members, they were given a bit of paper telling them that they got no access now unless they want to pick something up, in which case they would have to be escorted down and escorted out by security. Whatever's left here will be considered abandoned and removed, and we'll get a £150,000 bill. I just don't understand it. I don't understand how people can come along and just wreck people's lives. And that's what they're doing. There's a lot of good people here, and there's a lot of older people, and it shattered them. It's absolutely shattering them. It really is. It's upsetting them.
Dave Edwards is also a member.
It's just got unbearable, really. We have to walk down here. I've got, like, two knee replacements, so I can't walk very far anyway. I'm lucky to be here today, really. It's only because I'll get Bob to grab me down again.
Kent Online News.
A collection of Winston Churchill's uniforms and clothing has gone on display at his former Kent home. The exhibition at Chartwell includes custom-made suits and iconic accessories. It's been shown in the newly renovated uniform room, which recreates what life would have been like when the Churchills lived there. Catherine Carter is property curator at Chartwell. She's been speaking to Gabriel Morris from our colleagues at KMTV.
The reopening of the uniform room shows a number of different elements of this project. We have been able to return the decor to how the Churchills knew it when they were here, and also bring out a number of our uniforms, some of which never before seen, and show them on these beautiful mounts made bespoke to Churchill's measurements.
Are there any interesting stories about maybe one of these uniforms that we can tell, like something like significant? Did he wear one for a certain occasion?
All of the uniforms are witnesses to history, but this one just behind me here, the siren suit, is a particularly iconic garment of Winston Churchill's. If you're looking at a velvet one, it'll be evening wear, so this would have been what he was wearing for dinners with close family and friends.
And it's sort of a very stylish boiler suit, and he used to be a bricklayer, didn't he, Winston Churchill? Am I right in saying that?
The idea from the siren suit originally was boiler suits that he would wear when bricklaying here at Chartwell. And then when the Second World War came, it was very handy for Churchill to have a garment that he could throw on quickly, say in the middle of the night when there's an air raid and there's a meeting as a result. Have this and he can be meeting ready in minutes. And it's also a very comfortable garment, so he remained fond of them for the rest of his life.
I have to ask, obviously he was quite a big cigar smoker. Up close and personal with some of these garments, could you smell any of that at all?
Given that it's 60 years since Winston Churchill wore these garments, it's tricky to say the extent to which scent remains, but cigars were definitely a feature alongside him wearing them. And the siren suits, in fact, the upper pockets tended to be where his next cigar would be kept.
Interesting. And a little bit about this room. It's the oldest part of the building, back from the 1700s, wasn't it? Yeah, 1700s. And this room's sort of reminiscent of the 1930s in the interior design. You're saying some famous people stayed in here, Charlie Chaplin. Tell us a little bit about that.
When the Churchills were here at Chartwell, before the war, this served as the principal guest bedroom. So the likes of Lawrence of Arabia and Charlie Chaplin, when they visited, would have stayed in this very room.
And now it's been turned into a uniform room. What is this going to be special for guests? Is this going to be a highlight of their tour of the building, do you think?
What I really hope is that visitors come to Chartwell and see these incredible items of clothing, not just as things that Winston Churchill wore, but as witnesses to history. These items saw some of the most iconic moments in our national story of the 20th century. So to have them here on these beautiful new mounts, reflecting Churchill himself, is really special.
And just a little bit on the restoration process. And have the uniforms gone through some sort of restoration, or have they been ready already before?
Because some of the garments, it's the first time they've ever been on display, so they were, of course, in pristine condition, but others had been out for 60 years, and as you can imagine, naturally, time takes its toll. So we had specialist conservators work on all these garments and bring them up to the brilliant condition you can see today.
Gabriel was also able to speak to Chartwell General Manager Ben Daines.
We're absolutely delighted to now have the uniform room back open. We're sure that we're going to get a lot of visitors who have been here previously that will be really keen to see just a stunning display of uniforms that some have never been seen before here. Some have been on display, but not in the way that you can see them now.
And I'm sure conservation doesn't come cheap. So it's the work of you guys funded, I guess, by the members and the visitors here. How important is it conserving history like this, particularly at Chartwell?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly important to us. The National Trust is Europe's largest conservation charity. We look after this place forever. But you're right, it doesn't come cheap. So we rely on support from our members, from supporters, from donors. And we've been incredibly lucky that we've been able to generate the income in order to redo the uniform room. And as I say, we're delighted with the result.
Amazing. Do you know how long it's taken for them to be conserving it, reworking it? How long has that process taken? Do you know?
Yeah, we actually closed the room well over a year ago, and it does take a lot longer than you think. I mean, there's some meticulous work that's been done with the uniforms. Some have been on display previously and therefore needed conservation work doing on them. Some of them have never been on display. And then there's the room itself. We've made substantial changes to the room, and that takes a lot of time as well. But we're confident we've taken the time to do it right.
The exhibition is on until November 2nd. A Medway man with terminal cancer has reached the finish line of a 600-mile charity walk. Paul Dennington set off from North Shields, where he was born, at the start of August and arrived at Hampstead Valley Shopping Centre yesterday. This year's Pride in Medway winner raised more than £100,000 for Prostate Cancer UK since his diagnosis. A teenage girl from Sevenoaks who was left with life-altering injuries following a crash will pick up an award from Prince Harry today. Grace Tutt was paralysed from the waist down after her school bus collided with a tractor in May last year. She shares her journey on TikTok. The 13-year-old will receive her Well Child Award, which celebrates the achievements of seriously ill children, at a ceremony in London.
Kent Online Sports.
Taking a look at football now, and Gillingham were able to rescue a draw against Bromley on Saturday thanks to a 98th-minute penalty. The Jewels were 2-0 down at halftime, but fought back to maintain their unbeaten start and stay top of the league. Gareth Ainsworth spoke to the club's media team following the game.
Listen, first 20 minutes, a little bit unrecognisable. We got sucked into a battle with Bromley, and if you battle with Bromley, you're going to be in trouble. They're good battlers. They're real physical specimens. They know how they play. They know what they want to do. And really, they put it on us, you know, crosses into the box. Crazy decisions at the back for us. We didn't win enough headers. We weren't as solid as I've seen us. But that's 20 minutes gone. The rest of the game, I thought we got the ball down well. I thought we played some real good stuff at times. Still at times it came to us and we could have took a touch, but we're still heading it, and it was about giving the boys confidence to bring the ball down and play a little bit, because, you know, at the end we have players on the pitch who, Aaron Rowe, Gareth McCleary, Johnny Smith, you know, Johnny Williams, these are players who need to play. These aren't big battlers, you know. I would have put all my centre-halves up front if I wanted that. So I thought at half-time was really important to tell the boys the messages of, we can take another touch, we can get it down, and a little bit of guile about us. Brilliant to see him come back in the game. Josh Andrews, the first half, you know, unlucky. Great save from the keeper, you know, and he'll be disappointed with that one, but it is a good save. And really, we did keep... cleared one off the line. Clarkey with a header, great header, so we kept him to a minimum, but we could have still lost that game. The courage and the... You know, I don't want to swear. You know what I'm talking about. The size of those to get back in the game, they were unbelievable to show that, you know, and the spirit, the togetherness. Fans were absolutely superb. Never stopped singing. We were 2-0 down and they're singing. They're getting behind us. And I'm thinking, this is brilliant. This is what they understand. I told you they're good fans. They're knowledgeable fans. They could see we're up against it. It was a little bit like that. But once we settled it a bit, we were a better team. And, you know, putting the boys on. Gareth McCleary just said to me, that was way more minutes than you promised me. I'm not ready for that yet, but I'm glad I did because he's gone through, he's got the penalty, whether it is or not. You know, it's dubious, obviously, on the Sky that they're saying the replays don't look as bad. But the referee's got to make the decision. He's given us a penalty. We've had it against us, so I'm not going to grumble. But I thought Johnny Smith had a couple of good chances. Sam Vokes had chances, you know. We just seem to be a bit quicker on the attack, a little bit quicker on the counter, you know, which players are all quick, they're pacey players, you know. So to get back in, it was super special. And in front of those lot, I'm sure they're going home happy tonight.
And we can now hear from Max Clark, who scored the penalty.
Yeah, to wait a little while to take your penalty, just talk me through that one.
Yeah, look, it was a long time and I was just trying to stay away from it all. And Voxie said to me, look, I'll take the ball and you just get away from it all. Just showing his experience and, you know, trying to settle me down, which it helped. Just a long time waiting for it, and but yeah, look, thankful it went in, and great scenes at the end with the fans, and yeah, it's a good point for us.
Well, Sam certainly fooled me because I thought he was going to step up and take it himself, but basically just allowed you to kind of be free, don't need to worry about it, I've got the ball, come and claim it when you're ready.
Yeah, lucky, yeah, he was getting a lot of stick from their players because they was adamant he was going to take the penalty, and it wet the street for us, didn't it? And yeah, he was saying, and then it was absolutely battering him, you know, trying to get in his head. And so, yeah, luckily he took all that stick for me. So, yeah, thankful for folks looking after me there and using his experience. And look, since he's come in, he's been quality, you know, around the group. All the new lads, new signings, just shows the depth we have in the team and the real togetherness. And it shows out there.
Not many teams are going to come here, go 2 down and get a point. What does that showing, particularly in the second half, tell us about this group?
Yeah, it just shows a real character, you know, of us. We didn't start the game well. First half, we was disappointed. But look, that's the character. What we show, and literally since the gaffer's been in, it's always in us. And I think you see that this season. Since the gaffer's been in, we just keep fighting for each other, and we're back each other, and we just keep going till the end. And that's the spirit, and that's the spirit in the group. And yeah, it was 2-0 down, but we always believed, and I think that's the most important thing.
Their next match is against Notts County at Priestfield this coming Saturday. Arsenal came from a goal down to get their women's Super League season off to a winning start. They beat newly promoted Kent-based London City Lionesses 4-1. Record signing Olivia Smith scored on her debut for the Champions League holders. England have set up a quarterfinal clash with Scotland at the Women's Rugby World Cup. They thrashed Australia 47-7 in Brighton, scoring 7 tries to finish top of Pool A. Former Aylesford Bulls player Jess Breach won her 50th cap for England. To cricket, and Kent will be hoping to bounce back from disappointment at the weekend as they return to county championship action later. The Spitfires lost to Lancashire in the quarterfinals of the T20 Blast on Saturday. Kent are now taking on the same opponents in the longer form of the game at Canterbury. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.